You're on 3CR with Annie on Showreel, and we look at the Australian film industry. And now we're going to hear a little excerpt from a piece that came, a discussion, in fact, about two important First Nations factual series that are coming up in 2023. Around May, June, you'll find them on your screens. The first one of them is called First Weapon, and the other is The First Inventors. And this is important because they're First Nations-led filmmaking practices in ensuring authenticity and respect when handling First Nations knowledge. That's at the centre of the discussion that we're going to hear. It's only an excerpt. It's from the Australian International Documentary Conference. And as I said, just an excerpt. It's a little chat with people like Dean Gibson, who's from Bacon Factory Film, Dana Curtis, Inky Media, Larissa Berendt, Lavarch Productions, and CN Magati McHugh from Moogie Down Productions. The moderator is Laurie Brennigan Aranto, who was, works at as the Indigenous curator at the AIDC for this 2023 event. So let's have a listen to what they had to say.
Incredible. Those series, both of which I think are going to have a huge impact in ensuring First Nation knowledge is going to be at the forefront and in a really entertaining way as well. Dina, I'd love to turn to you first and hear a little bit about your view of the project as the producer.
Oh, my views. Okay. So I also came up with the concept of First Weapons, and so it's been a project that I've been developing for 9 years. From by the time it goes there, so from concept to screen, it's been 9 years. And it's a 6 half-hour science program that unpacks the secrets of traditional Aboriginal weaponry, and that's right from the inherent science of the weapon makers and country right through to experts, and then a celebration of contemporary technology and weaponry. What else should I say? It's presented by Phil Breslin, and we travel across the country visiting six weapon makers and unpacking the science of six weapons.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. I always kind of think of it as like a Blackfella Mythbusters, in a sense.
Yeah, it's very much a format series, and so it is kind of, it's like a Mythbusters, Top Gear, Body Hack type show. We've worked very hard to ensure that, you know, it is entertainment first, and where it's not too irreverent, and there's an awful lot of culture and celebration within each episode. And so that was an important objective for us to achieve. And I think, you know, we managed to do that. And I also think the biggest challenge of the series was that it was two halves. So the first half was we were on country, we were looking at inherent science, we were with our weapon makers in their community. And then we went to Brisbane, where we met our scientific experts, and we were in the labs and we were unpacking the science in the Western sense. So it was a challenge for us to make sure we brought those two together so it was a cohesive episode. And I think we managed to achieve that by ensuring that our weapon makers also came on the journey with us as well, and that we primarily focused on the fact that the weapon was the hero within each episode. So whenever we got stuck, we went back and said, the weapon is the hero, even though we have a very lovely presenter, Phil Breslin, who goes on the journey and throws himself into all sorts of situations to really explore each of those weapons.
Definitely. And for you, Dean, how was it balancing that, you know, trying to keep it entertaining and light, but also paying respect and giving reverence to culture?
Yeah, that was always on the front of my mind, and talking with Phil about how his tone, working with the weapon makers and working with the scientists and making that all work. But I think for me, it was a fresh change because I'd just come off the back of Incarceration Nation. So the load, the emotional load of that was real, and what that did to me professionally and personally was real. So it was nice to get the call from Daniel and say, this is something we want to try and achieve, but we're doing it in this different style where we are going to have some fun. We can actually really celebrate the locations and celebrate the makers and celebrate that knowledge of weapon making, and then have some fun, play, you know, go to the stadium and race a racing drone versus a boomerang and see how that goes and have some really fun and dress people up in knights' outfits and see what we can do with that. And I think it was really, for me, that's where it was a nice fresh breath of air to go, okay, you can sort of let the Incarceration Nation chapter sit and rest for a little bit and come on over to now and celebrate that. So that was probably my first initial sort of excitement around the project. But then, yeah, it was always important that I think the starting point for me, and I guess from the early days of meeting with Dina and Jacob and Darren, was it's still paying the honour and respect that we are going to someone's country. We're spending time with them. They're giving us time of their life. Like, they're giving us time and taking us to places and sharing things that they don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. And that, but they could see what we were trying to achieve and what Dina had been building those relationships over time to get to where we are today. And that was always the starting point. But then it was, I think, once we got through that conversation of them trusting the process and the film and what we were trying to achieve in terms of that more of a fun format, which people aren't used to seeing, and it took a little bit of sort of, to sort of talk them through what we were going to go through, and they go, what, we're going to race a boomerang versus a drone? How's that going to work? I said, don't tell Dina, but I don't know how that's going to work. We'll work out when we get there. But it's that sort of, once you got past that kind of conversation, I think it was amazing to see the weapon makers actually come along for the ride and Phil to get form his, because the great thing was Phil would meet them at the start and he'd get to know them as well, and he would, together they'd have fun.
Yeah.
And I think that resonates in the episode where you can see by the end of it, they've got a nice little rapport going on with each other, and it resonates on the screen where they are genuinely celebrating, obviously learning things on the way and paying respects at those key points, but having fun and knowing that I could sit down, the kind of cuts that we're seeing, you'll bring your whole family around it, and there'll be something, it's cliche, but there really will be something in there for everyone in your family, from my 11-year-old boy who's peeking over my shoulder, who just wanted to keep lifting the laptop up and watching it, saying no, to the 80-year-old gentleman from Central Australia who shared their whole story around our mayor.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It is a really community affair in every way, that project. I'd love to turn to you, Kian, to talk about First Inventors. You were the producer on this project. How was that?
Massive. So another project that was years in the making, and you know, just the consultation process alone, you know, like I'd have to work out how many Ks I racked up in the U, but you know, like I was going out and doing a lot of consultation myself, you know, and you know, the like case in point, there's a salt fellow in the series who is about 500 Ks away from Darwin, so I just, you know, I think I went out to his place like probably 10 times before we even started filming with him.
It's a lot of driving.
It was a lot of driving, and you know, it's not a short trip. So you know, it's just, there were times where I'd have to go out and just like literally sit down and go through a contract with him or something like that, and you know, 10-hour round trip just to sit down with him for half an hour.
Wow.
But you know, it's all hugely important. You know, that was, you know, going back to what I said about a project like this being Indigenous led. You know, it's just hugely important because, you know, you've got the same thing, you know, going out to all these different countries, and they are different cultures, so that's the thing, like, people look at, you know, Indigenous cultures as a homogenised sort of like thing, but, you know, everyone's got different languages, different customs and culture, so, you know, it's, even for an Indigenous, we'll make that to tread carefully, and really build up that rapport and respect with people before you can shove a camera in their face.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So look, it was. It's nothing that I'm a stranger to doing. Like, I've been doing this for a long time, and this was probably, out of all the projects I've worked on, this has been the most challenging one. And the payoff, just looking at that clip, I'm like, oh, that actually looks pretty good.
Once you get to the end, you're like, oh,
yeah.
Wow, we did it.
It was such a rewarding project to be a part of as well, mm-hmm. because, focused on traditional knowledge systems and looked at, indigenous innovation and science. And, I think even for myself, I was learning a lot about, indigenous innovation that I'd never heard of previously.
Mm.
And, it's an amazing project to be part of.
There's so much knowledge, and it's a whole continent, Larissa, I'd love to hear from you about your collaboration with Kian and experience directing the first Inventors.
As Kian said, it was quite the adventure. I'd never made this much television before, and I think there was an element of bravery about it, where bravery isn't probably fully understanding the facts of the situation you're getting yourself into. But, it was very challenging. It is, just listening to what Kian was saying, it's why it's so important, these First Nations collaborations. Obviously, for the scope of the project, I'm much more used to being across all of that consultation myself. So to know that the people going out to do that work before you are somebody who've got the cultural integrity and authenticity and understanding of the protocols that Kian had made that really important. So from a producer-director point of view, I felt like our relationship was absolutely key. It was obviously a really challenging space for a range of reasons. I'd just start by saying I'm probably better known for the very hard social justice-focused documentaries that I make. But to me, this was absolutely consistent with that. And the ability to be able to show the complexities and the sophistication of the culture that I grew up in and love, and to see it the way that I see it and Kian sees it as opposed to the way outsiders see it, I think is a really big, important part of those big national conversations that the social justice work is a part of as well. So for me, that felt like it was a continuation of that work. We had, as Kian said, the challenge of bringing out the complexities of cultures across the country, but still distilling it in a way that was accessible to the audience. And I think it's really important to acknowledge that as a co-production between Channel 10 and NITV, Kian and I were really aware that we had two very different audiences. Mm-hmm. And not only were we always privileging Indigenous knowledge and making sure that that was the perspective and voice that was leading the story and the narrative. I guess it was a bit like remembering the weapon is the main character. We were always sort of, when we were at a crossroads of navigating that, able to make sure that Indigenous-led meant Indigenous-focused. So I just want to finish by giving a real shout-out to Kaius Hepworth, if she's in the audience, because Kais was at NITV when we really started the production and the arrangement with 10, and had really insisted in this collaborative arrangement that the Indigenous voices would come through first, and that was really helpful in navigating a really complex series and a really complex set of ideas and two very different audiences, to be able to go back to that initial structuring of the relationship as Indigenous-led and Indigenous-first.
And that was a little excerpt from a really interesting discussion about two series that are kind of come up on our screens over the next few months, May, June. You should keep an eye out for them. First Weapon and the first inventors, and that the discussion was revolving around the importance of First Nations-led filmmaking practices. And the speakers we were hearing were Dean Gibson, Dana Curtis, Larissa Berendt, Keenan Mugatan Maku, and their moderator, Laurie Brannigan Arantur. And it was part of the Australian International Documentary Conference, but just an excerpt.